From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Bering Sea and Gulf of Alaska Crab Committee of the State of Alaska's Bycatch Review Task Force met last week. They are tasked with making crab bycatch policy recommendations to the full task force at their meeting next week. Crab fishermen in the Bering Sea have seen swift declines in eastern Bering Sea snow crab and Bristol Bay red king crab populations. One area of management concern is that we know very little about the lives of these crab outside of the summer when trawl surveys are conducted. We do know that they are especially vulnerable when they mate and molt. We just don't know much about when and where that happens. Here's Corey Lesher, who represents the Alaska Bering Sea Crabbers, addressing the committee.
Speaking to bycatch management, there's a couple of things that I just wanted to highlight and reemphasize. As a crab industry, you know, we're really concerned about protecting the female brood stock. And I know you have juvenile and female crab noted here, but also molting and mating crab. So this is one of the considerations that we feel are really important for management measures, is to protect important habitat areas for the different life stages, and particularly for molting and mating crab. Also to improve the PSC limit management. This is something that I think would be really prudent for management considerations, is to remove the PSC limit floors, in part updating limits based on the current status of the stocks.
The PSC floor refers to the fact that trawl fisheries now have a minimum allowance of crab they can accidentally catch along with their target species. No matter how low the crab stocks fall, that minimum crab allowance never falls below a predetermined floor. Linking the level of prohibited species allowed as bycatch to the status of stocks could mean a very low level of allowed bycatch, potentially closing trawl fisheries early. Then there's the question of unobserved mortality, or crab killed by contact with trawl gear but never brought to the surface. Presently, unobserved mortality is not counted against a trawl fleet's PSC limit, but lumped in with natural mortality.
Something that's not on this list that I feel would be a benefit to include is unobserved mortality estimates, unobserved fishing mortality estimates. Again, there's a lot of overlap between research and management, and I know that there's a need for research to inform some of this management. However, the status of the stocks, the crab stocks, currently, we don't have enough time to sit and wait for results from research to come and inform some of these management decisions. And I feel that it's important to consider implementing some of these now and potentially revise management in the future with updates from research, but to take action now.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
Here is committee member Eric Velsko.
I see two big priorities for you was manage the PSC stock across the entire range, and then the unobserved mortality estimate. So is that basically you're thinking we come up with a proxy first and then wait to determine what research is, but implement something in the interim until we get the research back? Is that kind of what you're going for?
Yeah, exactly. A proxy, a placeholder, you know, something, you know, we've discussed this multiple times that, you know, unobserved fishing mortality is not zero across all fisheries. And that's what it is being managed for now. And so I think this should be one of the higher research priorities for crab, and including estimates and PSC management would be really important. The stock assessment, there is a category for natural mortality, and it estimates a very a small amount of unobserved fishing mortality. And so when we speak to gathering research and estimates for unobserved fishing mortality and PSC management, we're asking that these estimates be applied towards PSC, towards individual fishing sectors, caps.
Committee Chair Linda Kozak had some questions about how that proxy number would be determined and used.
As far as developing a proxy for unobserved mortality, if you were to make a recommendation on what a proxy might be, what would you, are we just shooting darts again? If you could just explain to me a little bit more about what your thinking is in regard to how you would manage PSC stock across an entire range using a proxy. But are you suggesting that an unobserved mortality number be approximated and that then be used as part of the PSC cap? I guess there was a disconnect there in my head.
Yes, absolutely. Right now, what is being estimated for unobserved fishing mortality is lumped under natural mortality and the stock assessment. And when we talk about incorporating UFM into PSC, whether that's a proxy or updated estimates, absolutely account towards sectors' PSC caps.
It's been suggested by the trawl industry that unobserved mortality be also calculated for repeated capture and discard of crab, and it be counted toward the crab IFQ.
I think that's, you know, that's already being accounted for by managers and is included in the process. And I think as part of research on unobserved fishing mortality, we're not directing that only at trawl fleet. I think that research should be implemented across all sectors.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
Another suggestion was that pelagic or midwater trawl gear be restricted with regard to the amount of contact it is allowed to have with the bottom in order to limit unobserved mortality of crabs. Committee member Stephanie Mattson was skeptical.
Madam Chair, I am ready to move on, but I have to tell you, I am not supportive of this required pelagic gear to limit bottom contact for no more than 10% of the time. It's non-enforceable. I know that this probably got pulled from the Gulf of Alaska, but it's not being enforced over there. And I know people don't believe it, but pelagic trawlers can't really tell all the time when they're on the bottom. And so, you know, that's why we kind of had the pelagic trawl definition. And I, quite frankly, I don't understand what this has to do with the bycatch of crab. If you're just limited to 10% of the time in you know, throughout the area. So I would recommend that this be deleted.
Here again is Committee Chair Kozak.
I think we're going to disagree at this time a bit, Stephanie. Maybe the wording here is not exactly what we want to achieve, but I think the eye-opener for me and for others was that pelagic gear in the Bering Sea does not have a bottom contact restriction, and there's a high percentage in some cases where pelagic gear is actually in contact with the bottom, or may be in contact with the bottom. And we looked at some reports where some of the times the skipper thought they were in contact and they actually were not. And so maybe some sensors or something. But I certainly think a review of this definition of pelagic trawl and the amount of time they are in contact with the bottom is warranted. I'm not certain exactly how to word it. Eric, did you have something?
Personally, I think it could easily be done. We're doing all kinds of wild stuff with technology and looking at the advanced technology that fleet has, especially the rationalized Pollock fleet in the Bering Sea is probably the most capable of coming up with some sort of way to determine if they're on the bottom or not. But that aside, you go back and redefine what a pelagic trawl is. If it's contacting the bottom, it was under the assumption that these were midwater nets. We have all these closed areas for bottom trawl, but then you're going to also put that net on the bottom and not call it a bottom trawl. That doesn't make any sense at all. So that has to be figured out, whether it's here at the council or somewhere, but that's going to have to come to a head, I think, if we're actually managing these fisheries. I think that's going to be a big thing here moving forward.
Kodiak's pollock fishery is open to trawlers. The fall season kicked off at the beginning of the month. KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth has this update.
There's more than 90 million pounds of Central Gulf of Alaska pollock allowed for this season's catch. That's about 20 million pounds more than this time last year. Julie Bonney is the executive director of the Groundfish Data Bank. She said via email that the fall season started out a little slow, but that's fairly normal for this time of year. Most boats have been staying in the Kodiak area of the fishery, and last week's rough weather kept many of them closer to town. She says at the current catch rate, the fishery is looking at a closure later next week. After that, trawlers may move south near Chirikoff Island. That fishery closes by regulation on November 1st. Pollock is the white, flaky fish frequently used for fish sticks and fish sandwiches. This is the second pollock season this year. The first season kicked off at the end of January and wrapped up in April. In Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobrath.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.